Welcome to It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Coplin. Featuring out and about, thought-provoking conversations on the street. We consider topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show where we balance the intellectual with the creative and explore whether we have more in common than divides us through thought-provoking conversations. For the Arts Hour, I feature in-depth interviews with inspiring guests from all areas of the arts, from all areas of the country and across the world. And for this, the Topic Hour, I go out and about and talk to people on the street about lots of different subjects that affect us all, both locally and globally. And I combine a debate topic with an arts interview because I feel discussion and creativity are two of the most vital ways that we engage with the world. If you'd like to find out more information about the show, please do go to the website. It's a question of balance.com. I put podcasts there of all previous shows. We've had some really wonderful guests and some very interesting topics. And it's very easy to access both of those things. You can go to the tabs at the top of the homepage saying guests and topics. It brings up a page on each with all photographs of the different topics representing them and questions, and then photographs of all the guests that we've had and their names and what they do. So it makes it very easy just to click and select something that you're interested in. And it takes you to a page where there's information, there's photographs, there's external links that are relevant either to the topic or to the guest. And of course, the audio, so that you can stream or download the show whenever you wish to listen to it. So I would encourage you to go there. It's a question of balance.com. And as I mentioned, the show has a topic hour and a guest hour. And right now we are featuring the topic hour. And the idea is to get us thinking about questions that perhaps underlie current events, politics, things that are going on in the world, and perhaps stimulate new thinking or clarify what we already might feel. I think it's just interesting to hear other people's opinions, how they may be different or similar to our own. And this week we're considering, what does America being great mean to you? So let's hear my first conversation. Hello, my name's Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
John Paul.
Well, thanks so much, John Paul, for taking part in our Out and About feature. And this week we're considering, what does America being great mean to you? Understand from our little chat before we started recording that you've been in America for about 3 years. So first of all, I'd like to ask you, do you think about America in terms of being great or not? And also maybe as you are from outside, do you think it's more of a unique American way of thinking about a country? Do you think other countries think about themselves being great or not?
I think most nationalist people tend to think that their own country is great.
Okay.
So, I don't know if it's, the question is great relative to something exterior or in itself. Mm. I mean,
Well, that's something I'm interested in because, you know, I'm wondering, is it about how America's viewed from the outside, you know, how it dominates the world or how it's viewed as a power in the world, or is it more about how it's viewed by its own people? You know, how would one constitute great?
Yeah, I think it's an opinion they have of themselves, essentially. I think outside the US, depends where you go, a lot of places really don't think as US being very great because they think it's a very aggressive nation towards them. I think it's the US has been intervening in exterior politics in very aggressive ways in South America, Central America, Middle East, for many decades now. So I don't think if you go down to those countries, they'll think particularly US as a great country. They'd think about it as a big threat to their own integrity as nations, yeah? So it depends what you mean by great.
Yes, yeah. Well, I guess as you're out, as an outsider, I'm going to have to frame these questions slightly differently, but great is a superlative, and it's common for Americans to say America is the greatest country in the world. Do you perceive America as being in competition with other countries, or again, do you think that's just something within the country of how Americans think about it?
I think the US is highly competitive, and that's a big base of their own culture, that they feel that everything should be turned into a competition, and the winner is at the top and the winner is best. But I think that is just valid within a society that considers that everything should be a question of winning or losing.
According to Inquisitor, Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant has said the 1980s was the best decade, stating that America was great then because the economy was so strong it exploded and that America's enemies feared it. When people are thinking about America being great, do you think they are thinking primarily in terms of the economy and military power?
Yeah.
What qualities would America embody to be great, in your opinion? I mean, there's a lot of different things. I mean, obviously, there's the economy, equality, justice, defense, morals, happiness, you know, maybe.
Well, I've just been talking to a girl that's trying to help this civil rights group that is trying to create equality in the US between transgender, gay, lesbian, and heterosexual. So they shouldn't be able to lose their jobs because of their choice of sexuality or the way they feel their natural sexuality should be. And my answer was, is that still an issue in this country? And I equated it to any extreme religious country where they consider that religious sexuality should be man and woman with each other as heterosexual couples.
So you equate greatness with openness and tolerance, perhaps?
No, I don't think this country is particularly tolerant.
No, I'm saying, would you equate greatness with openness and tolerance? I mean, are those qualities you would want?
I think those are important qualities for any modern, any society that considers themselves even marginally modern and is professing to be great. Yeah, I think what makes you great are your people and the way the government and the people interrelate. So if a government is not permitting a big portion of their people to be who they need to be, does that actually mean that your society is great, or the government is great, or the nation is great? Who represents the nation? The people? The government? Is politicians?
Yes. An interesting question.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your opinions. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. You're welcome.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. Right now, we're featuring Out and About, thought-provoking conversations on the street. And this week, our topic is, what does America being great mean to you? And if you have any thoughts listening, please do email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. I'd be really interested to hear what your thoughts might be, and perhaps you've got some new thoughts coming up while you're listening to this and you'd like to share them. So please do email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. We're going to go to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversation after these messages. We'll be right back. Landmarks Art Party is the largest and wildest arts festival in the Bay Area, running September 24th through October 1st at Santa Clara County Fairgrounds. With 34,000 square feet of gallery space, music, dance, art cars, food trucks, fire, fashion and film, described as Burning Man in a tux, it's like nothing you've ever experienced before, and it benefits Silicon Valley Creates. The largest, most diverse art event the Bay Area has ever seen. This year's theme is Alice in Wonderland through the Looking Glass. You're more than just a viewer, you become a participant. Come along to Ann and Mark's Art Party September 24th through October 1st at Santa Clara County Fairgrounds. For more information, visit artpartysj.com. Artpartysj.com. That's artpartysj.com. Express yourself.
Gazing at a painting by Santa Cruz artist Doreen Davis simultaneously enlivens and soothes the soul. Working predominantly in watercolor, but also in acrylic and oil, Doreen's floral and landscape paintings have appeared in many exhibitions and are in private collections in the United States, the United Kingdom, and Germany. Experience the visual delight of being at one with nature through her paintings. Visit her online gallery at DoreenDavis.com. DoreenDavis.com. That's DoreenDavis.com.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week, featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And as I mentioned earlier, It's a Question of Balance has a topic hour and a guest hour. Right now we're featuring the topic hour and out and about, where I go out on the street and interview people and get their thoughts on the topic of the week. This week we're considering, what does America being great mean to you? There's been quite a lot of talk in the media about making America great again, covering current events. And, you know, it's been considered, when was America great and for whom was it great when it was great? A lot of discussion about that. But I thought it might be interesting to think about what great actually embodies, what qualities, what values does great embody? You know, what does America being great mean to you? So that's what I was asking people on the street this week. And I'm always very grateful to people who stop and talk to me, usually quite deep topics that we cover, and to be stopped on the street and give your thoughts on them. It's quite brave, I think, of people to do. So thank you to everyone who takes part in all the shows. And the idea is that just hearing what other people think might start our own thought processes going. Might be a topic that we haven't thought about before or for a while. We might think we know what we think about it, but when we hear other people's thoughts, it might slightly change our mind, or maybe it will confirm what we think. And I'm not trying to balance opinion equally. I just speak to who will speak to me and feature all the interviews that I do. So I don't know what people are going to say in advance. I'm just featuring their thoughts. And remember also that if you are enjoying this topic this week, we've covered lots of very interesting other topics. You can find them on the website. It's a question of balance.com. And you can also connect with me on social media there, should you wish, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. It's always nice to connect. So if you feel like doing that, then just click on the relevant icons. And also you can contact me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. Let me know your thoughts on perhaps topics you'd like me to cover or guests that you'd like me to have on the show. And I always really like to hear from people. So we're going to hear next my conversation with George. Let's hear what he had to say. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
George Harrison.
Well, nice to meet you, George Harrison. Thank you for taking part in the Out and About feature. And this week we're thinking about, what does America being great mean to you? And first I'd like to ask you, do you think in that way? Do you think about America being great or not?
Well, I've always thought of America as exceptional.
Right.
So,
okay.
You know, I guess you could say that I think America's great.
In that sense, yeah. According to Inquisitor, Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant has stated that the 1980s was the best decade, stating that America was great then because the economy was so strong it exploded and that America's enemies feared it. When people think about America being great, do you think they are thinking primarily in terms of the economy and military power?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What qualities would America embody to be great in your opinion? I mean, would you widen it out to perhaps, you know, equality or justice or happiness or the arts or morality?
Well, I think what made America great in the past was the, it was a beacon for the rest of the world. People could come here, they could be free, they could be able to pursue their dreams, and if that meant starting a business and making something of themselves, they could do that. There was plenty of opportunity, and I still see that with immigrants today. A lot of the people that come to this country as immigrants come with an attitude that there are no limits, and so they are starting businesses, taking advantage of opportunities, and it's a shame that more Americans aren't doing the same things that the immigrants are doing right now.
Right. So part of being great is the access to opportunity, you wish to take it.
Yeah, when you think about it, there aren't that many real democracies around the world where people have absolute freedom to pursue their well-being, if you will. And so I think by being an example to the rest of the world of what is possible is making America great.
Right. Do you think being great is more based on how America is viewed from the outside, you know, how it dominates in the world or it's viewed as a power in the world, or is it more about how it's viewed by its own people?
Well, you know, I think the term great implies some kind of an external viewpoint.
Right.
And so I'm thinking that making America great means that it is respected throughout the world for its prowess, its leadership, its standing up for freedom everywhere. So I believe that that's what being great implies.
Obviously, great is a superlative. Do you think of America as being in competition with other countries?
Well, truly, the world is competitive, and so I think we are in competition with China right now. I think we're finding that the Chinese are trying to expand and become the empire that they once were, and so there is a conflict there in terms of the South China Sea and whether who's going to be dominant in the region, and the United States with its sixth fleet, I think, has, you know, sort of guaranteed commerce and free transit over there, and I think the Chinese definitely view it as a competition that they want to supplant America in Asia.
Right.
So, I mean, that's, people are competitive by nature, and so I think governments tend to be competitive, just like people are.
There is some talk in the political arena of battening down the hatches and isolationism in terms of America as a country. I mean, if America was to go more towards that, could it still be great to you in your eyes? Would it just be great for itself, you know, within itself?
I think that's turning its back on what made it what it is.
Right.
And I think if you become an insular country with trade barriers and immigration barriers and everything, I think that, you know, you've sort of lost the seed that America grew from. The openness to immigration, the openness to people from other cultures, the openness to opportunity. And so if we foreclose all that, I don't think we're doing America any favors.
Right. Obviously, for the slogan, Make America Great Again, to have any traction, it must tap into feelings of dissatisfaction. I'm wondering if there is perhaps a connection with there being more hope in the past. People felt things would keep getting better, whereas now there seem to be so many complex problems that feeling hopeful might be more of a challenge. Is that something you think might contribute towards it, people feeling America's not great now?
Yeah, I think that's what makes the slogan appealing, is the fact that a lot of people are feeling uncertain about the economy, uncertain about their institutions, uncertain about crime in the streets and what's going on. And so, you know, they're saying that we've lost what made us great, and so they want, again, you know, to roll the clock back, if you will, to, I don't know, was it the 80s? Was it the 50s? When was it?
Exactly. You know, yeah,
who
I think
knows?
It's hard to pinpoint.
Yeah.
One of the things you've mentioned is about freedom of opportunity. And would you extend that to sort of freedom to be who you are, and therefore a greater tolerance of diversity in all its forms, whether it be religious or sexual or racial?
Well, I think that that's the implication that's in the term freedom,
right,
that people are entitled to be who they are and realize themselves fully in our society. So, yeah, I think that certainly implies tolerance for other viewpoints and other people.
Yeah. If you allow yourself to be nostalgic, are there things that you remember fondly that don't exist today that you wish still did? Is there this perfect time, you know, where everything was great?
Well, you know, I think some of it has to do with age. Maybe there was a time when, you know, I was feeling like I had endless opportunities.
Right.
I was young and energetic.
Yeah.
And, you know, so this goes back into the 70s. When I was working in San Francisco, and the industry seemed to be freewheeling and fun, and the city was fun, and the people I worked with were fun, and I had a good job. And so, you know, that's probably when I enjoyed it, but it's more personal than it is an era, if you will.
Yes, yeah. In The Atlantic, David Frum quotes a Republican convention delegate as saying, "Obama in the Oval Office was humiliating enough, but Hillary will be worse. We're going to lose any idea at all that leadership is a man's job." Do you agree at all that there's some nostalgia out there for a time when white men basically held most leadership positions?
Well, I think among white men there probably is, yeah. You know. But,
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. You know, I'm disappointed in Obama, not because of anything that had to do with his not anything to do with his race.
Yes.
It had to do with his form of governance.
Right.
And so,
yeah,
you know, it's immaterial to me.
Yeah.
The race or the gender. It's just, are they policies I agree with? Are they policies I don't agree with?
Yeah. Do you see a pushback out there, though, in the wider sort of populace? Do you think that there's a fear of women being in power?
Oh, I can't imagine that. I mean, we've seen women in power all over the world. We've seen Margaret Thatcher. We see Angela Merkel. I don't see anybody lamenting the fact that they were powerful women, because they have led their countries very well. So why would we fear such a thing?
Yeah.
And besides that, women are becoming more predominant in business, in education, in government, everywhere else. So
yeah,
it's sort of a long-term trend, I think.
Right, yes. So finally, do you think America's greatest years are behind it, or do you think they might still be ahead?
My fear is that they may be behind us.
Okay.
And there was that old saying that westward the march of civilization. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we have had an unparalleled time of prosperity and power, which was really brought about by World War II, when we were the undamaged country with the strongest military. And then, you know, from this point on, I'm not sure. Is this going to be the era of China? Is this going to be an era where we have people not willing to sacrifice anymore for making things what the country could be and should be? Or are they too willing to let other people do it for them, let the government take care of them? I don't know. That concerns me.
Yeah. Do you think that you could envisage, I mean, obviously those things you mentioned are definite concerns, but a situation where perhaps America isn't the strongest, greatest country in the world, but it's still a good country for its citizens?
Well, do I detect an English accent?
You know. You do.
Okay, well.
I am a dual citizen, but yes.
Yeah, well, I think England has transitioned from being a world power, an imperial power, into a very... a good society, perhaps a little bit, you know, overbearing in terms of the government programs and things, but I think that, you know, you can accept these kind of things, that you don't have to be the big dog, that sometimes you can just be in the pack, you know, one of the democracies, one of the countries where you then maybe focus more on the internal aspect of the country, making sure that people have good jobs, good opportunities, good way to make a living, and you become great internally.
Yes.
And without necessarily being a world leader, but we have to beware of chaos in the world, because if the America isn't standing up as a bulwark against some of these forces of darkness, who is?
Yes. Yeah. So. Good point. Well, thank you so much for your opinions.
Well, you're certainly, I have plenty of them. So.
thank you very much.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. Thanks very much to George there for his thoughts. And let's hear my next conversation with Benedict.
Hello, my name is Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
My name is Benedict Herman.
Well, thanks so much, Benedict, for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're considering, what does America being great mean to you? So first of all, I'd like to ask, do you think about America in terms of being great or not?
I don't think about it in terms of being great, no. I think that's a catchphrase that the Republicans have put together to touch upon a lot of unhappiness that's been going around. The first question that I would ask in return is, what is greatness? What does it mean for a country to be great?
Well, I was just going to ask you that. So what qualities would a country embody, or would America embody, in order to be great to you?
Probably one of the first things is not to be so quick off the mark to go to war.
Right.
A country that thinks, a country that has compassion, a country that is able to look farther down the line than its own immediate needs, a country that is able to see a broader picture of what is going on in the world rather than reacting.
Absolutely. When people think of America being great, do you think they're thinking primarily in terms of the economy and military power?
No, I think it's just a catchphrase that has ignited the passions of some people. I don't think they really know what it means.
Just better than what they've got.
Right. You know, in other words, you're talking to a lot of disaffected people saying, wouldn't you like to be great again? And it's such a broad, meaningless term that going to go, well, yeah. But they have no idea what that really means. And there's certainly nothing within the platform that defines it for them.
Right, yeah. I mean, obviously, as you said, the slogan, you know, is tapping into dissatisfaction. I'm wondering if there's perhaps a connection with there being more hope in the past, you know, whether people felt things would keep getting better, and now there's so many complex problems that perhaps people are feeling, you know, not so hopeful. Do you think that might be part of it?
Well, there have always been complex problems. I think it's unfair to say somehow things are more complex now than they used to be. That's silly. What is happening now is that the divide between the rich and the poor is becoming more severe. And the chances of people with less education moving up the social ladder and being able to secure a decent livelihood for themselves is less than what it used to be. And instead of having a serious articulation of that dissatisfaction, they're sort of striking out and going, I want to be great again.
Yes.
Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, what they're really saying, I want to be able to earn a decent living. I've worked as hard as I've ever worked, and yet I'm not making any more money. And it seems that the better life for some people is going on, but not for me.
Right.
And so when you look at Bernie Sanders, for example, and what he was talking about in terms of, you know, a fair wage, college education being free, like all of the other industrialized countries in the world except this one. That's what is actually addressing the concerns of those disaffected people who are reacting to make America great again.
Right. I mean, what people tend to say is that, you know, there's Americans who want the social programs of European countries at the tax levels of America, and you can't really combine those two things.
No, you really can't. You know, you really do have to go one way or the other, and that's why I think this election is so important, because we've reached the point where you simply have to address the gap between the rich and the poor. You have to address it. Otherwise, you wind up with the French Revolution, you wind up with the Russian Revolution, and the aristocrats wind up hanging from trees. And, you know, this is not good. This is social disorder. This is disruption. We want stability. And the only recipe for stability is a broad, stable middle class with social mobility available. If you work hard for it, you should be able to get it.
Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with the idea of gross national happiness,
yes,
as opposed to gross domestic product. Would you see that as being part of a country being great, that taking into account the happiness level of most people?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Because at the end of all things, I mean, stuff is just stuff. You know, you have to mix into to what you're talking about is that the materialism in this country is not really a fair category to measure the greatness of a country. I mean, by that metric, Denmark is a great country. By that metric, Scandinavia, the European socialist democracies, are great countries, which I happen to agree with.
Right, yeah. But they're not, you know, dominant in the world, and they're not necessarily the richest countries in the world, but their citizens are more content and more equal, perhaps, in economic terms.
Exactly. I mean, if I come back to the original question, how are you measuring greatness? If greatness is measured in military terms, I would really have to question that assumption. You know, you have to question the assumptions of certain statements, and greatness is certainly open to interpretation.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and our topic discussion this week on Out and About. And if you have any thoughts, please do email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. I'd really like to hear your thoughts on this. ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. We're going to break now, but I'll be back with more conversation after these messages.
The music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland. Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com. It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Ciao, I'm Luca from Tramonti at 528 Seabright Avenue, steps from the ocean. We are the authentic Italian pizza and pasta restaurant, serving also organic salad and house-made desserts in a friendly family-style atmosphere, indoor or on our lovely patio.
Tramonti is open every day from noon to 9 and later on Fridays and Saturdays. Come enjoy our specials every Tuesday neighborhood night and the best deal for a healthy bite at lunch every day.
We bake our bread and prep our fresh pasta and pizza daily. Beppe, Daniel and I want to say grazie to the Santa Cruz community for supporting us in the past 2 years. Allora, buon appetito!
Visit Luca and Beppe at Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue. That's Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue.
Can you imagine living without stress, anxiety, or fear? And can you imagine a life filled with harmony and inner peace? Is that even possible? The Ananda Yoga and Meditation Center in Scotts Valley offers simple tools to help you become more effective at work and more centered in the face of life's challenges. At Ananda, we offer yoga classes for everybody, inspiring workshops, devotional chanting, and Sunday services based on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. Our teachers and therapists are highly trained professionals who work together to inspire a healthier you. And your first Ananda yoga class is always free. Visit us at anandascottsvalley.org or call 338-YOGA. That's anandascottsvalley.org or 338-YOGA.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and right now we're featuring thought-provoking conversations on the street for our topic hour and our discussion this week. What does America being great mean to you? Well, next, let's hear from Andy and Ali. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Ali.
Andy.
Well, thanks so much, Ali and Andy, for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're thinking about what does America being great mean to you? And first of all, I'd like to ask you, do you even think about America in those terms? Do you think of America as being great or not?
I think of America as being full of opportunity if you reach out to grab it.
Right. Okay. What about you? Do you find yourself thinking that America's great or not great?
Well, I think, you know, most people just take America for granted. I mean, we've lived here our whole life. We don't think of it as being great or not great. It just is.
Okay. The Make America Great Again slogan was first used by Reagan in his 1980 presidential campaign and was used at a time when there was high unemployment and inflation and security concerns. When people are thinking about America being great, do you think they're thinking primarily in terms of the economy and military power or other things?
I kind of think it sounds like more military power and maybe more secondary, perhaps more economic power.
Right, yeah. What about you?
Well, I think for most people that are concerned about that, it's a matter of economic safety, economic opportunity. Are their kids going to be better off than they are?
Right.
And I think they feel threatened, and that's fundamentally what it's about.
Yeah. What qualities would America embody to be great, in your opinion? You know, there's the economy, happiness, defense, morals, justice.
Let him answer that.
Well, I think the larger issue is, you know, fairness, economic opportunity for all.
Tolerance, perhaps.
I would throw that into, you know, just economic equality. You know, tolerance, acceptance. You know, are we a shining example of democracy, you know, for the rest of the world or not.
Right. Would you see intolerance then as mainly coming from economic inequity rather than religious ideas or whatever?
Well, a friend of mine in high school used to have this phrase, basically, that Americans were fat, dumb, and happy. And by that he meant, you know, at that time that, you know, people felt that economically they were secure, that their futures were, you know, promising, their kids had opportunity, and therefore others were less threatening and they were more tolerant. Right. And I don't think that's the current attitude right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. Great as a word obviously is a superlative, and it's common for Americans to say that America is the greatest country in the world. Do you think of America as in competition with other countries?
No, I don't. Just because difference doesn't mean better, it just means different.
Right, yeah. What about you?
No, I don't think we're in competition. Maybe in the Olympics, but...
So how important is it to you that America is the best country in the world? Do you think in that way?
I don't even think about honestly.
I just think that's a silly question, not to, you know... Who doesn't love their country? Who doesn't think that their country is the best in whatever it is, you know, moral, ethics, whatever? Does anybody wake up and say, wow, my country is evil? Well, if they think that way, they're going to move, right? They're going to go to Canada.
Well, the reason I ask the question is because it isn't as common for other countries to think they're the best in that way. I mean, you don't find people in Britain saying Britain is the best, or people in Germany saying Germany is the best country in the world. It is very common for Americans to think that. And I am a dual citizen, but obviously I wasn't born here, so I have a, like, dual perspective.
It may be the case, but in my experience, I have never heard anyone express that thought ever in
55 either.
Years.
No.
Okay. All right. So saying let's make America great again, it's implicit that it's not great now. Some people feel the family is in crisis, and that's why they're looking to the past. Do you see any decline in that area at all?
Values. Yeah, I think, you know, you look at all the debate around a living wage. There are a lot of people who are fundamentally economically disenfranchised. And if you were to look back 20, 30 years ago, I don't think you'd find the same percentage of people who felt that the system was, you know, rigged against them, or that they didn't have opportunity.
Do you think it's so, I was wondering also whether it's to do with hope. I mean, obviously the American dream has always been a huge thing, that you just felt like if you worked hard and you tried, you know, that life would just get better and better. I'm wondering now whether some of what people's feeling linked to what you said is that they just don't have as much hope that that is going to be the case.
I feel that that is the case, that some people are losing hope, and that no matter how hard you work, you're still not going to get anywhere. You're still going to live paycheck to paycheck. And I don't know why that's changed. I don't know if it's just the attitude or it's truly an economic issue that people are running into, but it's very distressing. And I don't know if there's any one person who can fix it.
If you allow yourself to be nostalgic, are there things that you remember fondly from the past that don't exist today that you wish were still around?
Oh, definitely. I spent a childhood riding horses all over the mountains. And I was in my early teens, you know, 12, 13. I would be gone all day. And I don't think my mother really worried about me. You know, I have teenage boys, and it's like, you know, stay away from these parts of town. Don't go there. Don't, you know... Be careful where you go. Be careful who you talk to. And I think, yeah.
Is it more dangerous, do you think, or do you think it's just a perception of danger has increased?
I think it really is dangerous. I think we have a lot of gang activity I didn't see when I was a kid.
Right, yeah. What about you? Do you have any nostalgic reflections of things you would wish could come back?
I wouldn't say nostalgic reflections or whatever, but, you know, it's just a matter of numbers. So I think 50, 60 years ago, maybe there were only 100 million people in the United States, and I think now it's like 300 million. If one person out of 1,000 is, you know, a nut, you know, crazy, whatever, we got a lot more nuts and crazy people walking around. And so are things more dangerous, or, you know, they're just more incidents just by sheer numbers of population? And
it
sells a lot of newspapers.
Yeah. So just finally, do you think America's greatest years are behind it, or do you still feel hopeful about the future?
I would like to be hopeful. I tend to be an optimistic person, and I would like to hope that we could become an economic power as we used to.
Yes.
but I don't know how that would happen. I think the world is changing. I think there are other countries in this world who are starting to come to the forefront, such as China, which wasn't happening 20, 30 years ago. So I don't know. I would like to be optimistic.
Yeah. Maybe there has to be a new way of thinking about it, where you don't necessarily always have to beat other people.
Right.
But, you know, we have to find a way to exist more equitably.
Yeah, so I would just say, you know, Santa Cruz, basically, we live off of Silicon Valley, and that's it's the economic reality. And anybody who knows anything about Silicon Valley knows it's the world of not what is, but what could be. And there's so much promise and opportunity for the future. And I think you're going to see a lot of just inbred optimism in this region. I don't know if that's going to be true anywhere else in the state or the nation.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your opinion.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, thanks to Andy and Ali there. And let's hear my last conversation with Sam.
Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thanks for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
My name's Sam.
Well, thanks for taking part, Sam. This week on Out and About, we're thinking about what does America being great mean to you? It's being talked a lot in the media and in the political campaigns at the moment about America being great. And firstly, I'd like to ask you, do you even think about America in that term or not?
I mean, people saying America being great again, it's like those people automatically, if you disagree with them, they're going to say you're not being American. You're not being,
interesting.
You know,
yeah.
All American, you know.
Is it a nationalistic thing to sort of feel that America is the greatest country?
Yes. I get that from people.
Yeah.
And I really think it's just, America's all right.
Yeah.
I think when people think of America being great, they're thinking of the bubble before the burst in every situation. We're having a good time. We're making industry progress before things downturn. And we've understand the past with our ups and downs, but we haven't changed anything.
Right. So. Okay, so obviously some people are feeling we're in a downturn now. When people think of America being great, do you think they're primarily thinking in terms of the economy and military power?
I'd probably say that, and businesses
right.
In the private sector as well.
Yeah. What qualities would America embody to be great in your opinion? I mean, one measure that's out there in the world is gross domestic happiness. I don't know if you're...
I have heard of that.
...familiar, or gross national happiness, sorry, yeah. Instead of gross domestic product. I mean, do you think how happy everyone is in a country might be a way of establishing whether it's great or not?
Yes, well, people's happiness is a great side effect from how well a country is doing,
right.
And it is a good factor to look at to see if you're being successful or being great.
Right, okay. Great is a superlative. It's very common for Americans to say that America is the greatest country in the world. Other people that I've spoken to have mentioned, you know, that people who are nationalistic about their country are always going to think it's good. But I think it is less common for other countries to think about their country in terms of being the best in the world, necessarily. I mean, obviously some do. Do you think America feels in competition with other countries? Do you feel in competition with other countries as an American?
I don't, personally, but I think America likes to put itself above other countries, being like, look how great we are.
Right, yeah. Do you think that's all part of the capitalistic American dream of always sort of bigger and expanding out?
Yeah, that could pretty much be part of that, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, for the slogan Make America Great Again to resonate with people, it's got to be tapping into feelings of dissatisfaction. I'm wondering if perhaps part of that is that there was more hope in the past. Do you think that perhaps people now aren't so hopeful that things can be solved and things can get better?
I mean, the world's been sliding into a darker state of being, at least as the media reports it.
Right.
Statistically wise, we're doing better than we have been,
Yes.
But there's still a lot of downturns, and I guess people are more feeling those than any upsides.
Yeah. Obviously, you're not that old. Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 24.
Okay, so if I was going to ask you to be nostalgic and think fondly of the past, it might be before, you know, might not be your own past, but do you look back in history at any times that feel to you, oh, that was, you know, when things were good, or that was when America was great, or do you not really think like that?
That's kind of hard to pin down on when, you know, America was great again, but, I mean, probably before the 2000s, before all 9/11 and terrorism started being the buzzword.
Right.
Before the world started seeming darker.
Yeah.
For people.
I mean, some of what has been brought up about this term great is that, you know, it doesn't really allow a lot of complexity, because you can look back and say, well, America was maybe great in the 50s because there was the opportunity to put your kids through college and have a house and, you know, a decent wage. But then you had situations where, you know, black people were having to sit in the bottom, the back of the bus and not use the same water fountains as white people. And women, you know, couldn't own property necessarily everywhere. You know, so there were certain parts of society that perhaps it was great for them then. So do you think perhaps true greatness would it embody the most happiness for the most people, perhaps?
Oh yes, definitely.
Yeah. And finally, do you think America's greatest years are behind it, or are you hopeful that they could be ahead of it?
We're staring down the tunnel and I'm not quite seeing the light yet. Hopefully it's there. That's all I can say.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your opinions. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. Thanks very much there to my last interviewee, Sam. And thanks also to everyone else who took part in this week's show. The purpose of the topic hour is to try and ask questions that make us think. So I hope that might have been your experience listening. It's a Question of Balance has a topic hour and a guest hour. So be sure to tune in to hear inspiring, in-depth interviews with guests from all areas of the arts, as well as thought-provoking topic discussions on the street. And remember to check out the website for podcasts that you can listen to anytime, anywhere at itsaquestionofbalance.com. And you can either stream previous shows, or you can download a copy and play it later. So I encourage you to go and check out the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. We've had some really, really great guests, and also some very interesting topics. So head over there and have a look. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to you joining me again.